Hey, movie retrospective time.
Yeah, we got a good one this time, man. Fucking Boba Hotep.
Oh, man.
I love this movie.
I've been wanting to do this for so long, and I was like, you know, I subjected Tom to, like, a couple movies that he wasn't really crazy about, like, the last two shows.
Yeah.
And, like, the last one I had to do by myself. So this week I said, okay, well, Tubi's got this for free, so we're going to do this one, because we've seen this movie lots of times, and I know you really like this movie.
Boba Hotep is a good example of good writing. Writing that can just draw you in to characters, and real good characters in it, man. It's got fucking Elvis, JFK's in it.
Yeah.
Fucking the Lone Ranger's in it.
That's right.
and a mummy, an ancient Egyptian mummy's in it.
With cowboy boots.
A soul sucker with cowboy boots. And they're all in the old folks' home. It's just... And it's totally ludicrous. And of course, JFK is black.
Yeah, because why wouldn't he be?
Of course. He said the CIA died him that way. They're hiding him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking... And I just like that character. I was almost maybe believing it. As weird as the rest of the movie was, maybe he was JFK.
Sure, why not?
And he thought they were running him from a battery in the White House. Because so much of the other shit is so absurd about this movie,
right?
That is real. Maybe that was supposed to be.
That's what I mean. That's like not even. I like that they don't even like, and they don't even tell you if Bruce Campbell's character is actually Elvis,
or if
he's
just
like delusional and thinks he's Elvis.
I think it's supposed to be,
but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah,
you can believe whatever you want about any of these characters. I just roll with it. That is Elvis, and that is JFK.
That's kind of what I do, too.
And that was the Lone Ranger, but I think the guy who played the Lone Ranger, I don't think they lived at the same time. So he'd have been dead by that time.
Yeah, now I'm wondering, I can't even remember what that actor's name was. It's
all
totally
a bunch
escaped
of old,
me.
It's all a bunch of old dudes in the convalescent home losing their minds. So I just, you know, it's the dynamic of the movie is to not question their version of reality.
Right.
Because for all we know, the mummy wasn't there. But I think it was.
I think it was, too.
I think it was, too, yeah.
But that's the thing. Okay, so now, if you guys haven't seen Boba Hotep, like I said, it's on Tubi right now for free, so you can go watch it.
Yeah, this is a must-see.
I used to have it on DVD, but I was temping at this place, like graphic designing there, and I loaned it to a guy that worked there, and then my temp job ended, and he didn't bring it back.
If anybody wanted to give Jenny a present for her birthday.
Although, like I said, it's...
Get her a Blu-ray of Boba Hotep. She'd love that.
This movie. Well, everybody knows how much I love Bruce Campbell, so I'm going to watch anything with him in it, even if it's bad. Although I don't think I've ever seen a bad movie that he's been in, because he just, like, makes whatever he's in. He seems like a delightful human being.
Yeah, it's got an all-star cast and also all-stars behind the camera, too, because this is directed by the guy who did all the Phantasm
movies. Don Coscarelli.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I love the Phantasm movies, too, all of them. I think he did a great job in them.
Oh, yeah.
Each one of them handcrafted works of love, you know, with its own lore, its own mythos and everything.
And this was, I think.
Yeah, and it is. And before I get off the fucking, the subject of Phantasm, in my opinion, is the only movie series, and there's five of them, all right, where the series gets better as it goes.
Yeah, it's really one that didn't fall apart as it went on.
It got better as it went.
I mean, I guess people could argue that because maybe people don't like the later ones as much, but I actually really liked all of them.
The only thing that would be close would be like the Back to the Future trilogy. Some people might say, well, Back to the Future 3 wasn't that good. Now, when you get older, Back to the Future 3 is very good. It wasn't as good when I was a teenager, but now that, you know, I'm an older guy, I appreciate 3 a lot more than I used to.
But I think maybe the same could be said for Boba Hotep, because as ridiculous a premise as it is, it's actually kind of...
It's deep.
Yeah, and it's actually deep. Kind of like touching.
Yeah.
Like in the way that it talks about aging, and it talks about how we don't really value like old people, and like once they're gone, like everybody just like wants
Behind it, though, was a deeper theme. Is life worth anything?
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. I mean... Elvis, his roommate, was a dude. He was there with him for 3 years, but he didn't really know the guy that well because he was never well enough to talk. When he died, his daughter shows up, and his daughter never visited him and threw his Purple Heart and his war pictures away. And Elvis was like, hey, could I have those? I mean, those meant something to him.
You know?
And then, you know, and he's like, why didn't you ever come see him? And in the end, fucking Elvis is asking himself, what is my life worth anything?
Yeah.
You know? Like, because everything that you are when you die vanishes, and everything you cared about, other people don't give a shit. They just throw it away.
Yeah.
And even like the guys who were taking him to the fucking funeral home or the morgue.
Yeah, putting him in the hearse, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, you ever wonder who these guys are, man? Whether or not they have a heritage and, like, you know,
a legacy.
And what their legacy is. And the other guy's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. There is a lot of that in this.
Yeah, and when you get to be my age, you see people die. Yeah. You know? It's people in your own family die. And maybe they, you know, people that were married into your own family, or, you know, you've seen young guys die too, but it's different, you know. A lot of times when old people die, people are like, ah, good riddance. You know, a lot of times. Because, you know, not everybody's good, you know. But it makes you wonder, what is life all about? Did that guy's life mean anything?
Yeah.
And then you got to sit back and kind of think, you know, like, no, it didn't really mean much. You know, had that guy never existed, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the meaning of life? Well, what is the meaning of a cat's life? What is the meaning of a bug's life? What is the meaning of a monkey's life? What is the meaning of a human's life? A lot of times it's all about that same kind of nebulous
kind of thing.
Well, it doesn't really mean anything. It just happened.
Well, you know? And you have to make your own meaning.
That's what I always...
And I like that better, actually.
And I think that's how this movie kind of ended.
They
all went down fighting to save others and for what they believed in.
Yeah.
And at the end, the stars tell Elvis that all is well.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, yeah.
Because he saved
everybody. It's all just part of the system.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. That's my personal experience.
Which is very funny because, like I said, this is kind of a deep movie for a movie about Elvis and a black JFK fighting an ass-sucking mummy.
Yeah, yeah. He sucks the soul through your ass. Yeah. And he writes on bathroom walls. It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
It is. Yeah. So, okay. So let's get a little bit into this. This came out in 2002. And like we said, it was written and directed by, or actually adapted and directed by Don Coscarelli, who was most famous for the Phantasm movies.
Yeah.
This is from a short story or novella by Joe R. Lansdale, who is a very, very, who is an awesome horror writer from Texas. If you haven't read any of his stuff, you really should, because he is a national treasure. And a lot of his stories are real weird like this. And from what I remember, I do remember reading this story several years ago. From what I remember, this is a very close adaptation of the story. Like, I remember it being very similar. So basically what you got, Elvis, or as he's called, Sebastian Half.
Yeah.
What he says, he's in a convalescent home. Apparently, he fell off a stage and broke a hip, and it got infected, and he went into a coma, and then, like, he can't really walk anymore. So they put him in this convalescent home. And he says that he's actually the real Elvis, but that he switched places with an Elvis impersonator
named Sebastian Half
to get away from the fame. Like, they don't really, like, when about, that was in the 70s sometime that happened, like, while he was still famous.
Yeah, and the guy who died in the hotel on a toilet and shit, that wasn't Elvis.
Right, that was Sebastian Half. That's what he's
Elvis
saying.
An Elvis impersonator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they looked a lot alike. There's a great scene in this fucking movie where Elvis shows up to meet Sebastian Half kind of secretly. He's got the Memphis mob with him. He tells them they go to see, cause evidently he was on like a mini tour to check out the best fucking impersonators. But he didn't tell his boys exactly why. He wanted to do a switch.
Yeah.
So he'd have them wait outside, and he'd go in and check them out, you know, and he'd come back out and go, nah, not this one. Anyway, he goes in to go meet the actual Sebastian Half, and of course, it's played by the same actor.
Yeah, it's Bruce Campbell.
And there's just this fucking awesome scene where the impersonator stands up and sees fucking the real Elvis, and fucking he starts trembling and falls to his knees and shit, and the king fucking puts his hand out and he fucking to offer his ring and
like the Pope ring. Or some shit.
Like he's the fucking Pope. So they make the switcheroo, evidently. They make the switcheroo, and then Sebastian Half walks out to the Memphis mob and goes, nah, just another loser.
Yeah.
And then it's okay, let's get out of here.
They don't know.
But they made the switch.
I do love...
That's the story we're told. We don't know if it's true.
Yeah, we don't know if, like... I mean, he seems to have his shit together, so... Yeah.
I think it is Elvis.
I think it is, too. I think it's supposed to be. But like I said, they don't really tell you that, and you don't really need to know. Right. It's basically... He's just operating under the assumption that this is the actual Elvis, and he switched places. One little thing, too, that I like about that scene that's, like, kind of subtle, is that the impersonator, before they switch, he's eating a pie, because I guess he's thinner than the real Elvis, so he's trying to fatten up. That's what I thought. Like, they don't really mention it, but it's like, he's just in there, like, eating a pie going, oh, God.
He stands up trembling. He falls to his knees and shit.
It is. And then it's very funny.
Elvis walks up to him, just kind of world weary, like, yeah, he's going, there.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Fucking fights.
Bruce Campbell is so fucking good.
All these Elvisisms all happening in one spot between two Elvis fanatics. The real Elvis and a fanatic.
So as it happens, so Elvis and Sebastian Haff, they had done like a contract, right? So Sebastian Haff was supposed to like pretend he was really Elvis and he could have all the money and the fame and he could do everything like that. But they had a contract where the real Elvis would have enough money to live on and then he would just go back and live as an Elvis impersonator. However, and they had a deal too that it's like if Elvis ever wanted to come back to his real life, he could. Like they had a caveat. But what ended up happening was that Elvis was having a barbecue at his trailer.
Set his trailer on fire.
And he set his trailer on fire with propane. Yeah. Like, actually, it was a huge explosion, and he lost the contract, so he couldn't go back to his regular life.
Now, these whole Elvis scenes are not really the main part of the movie. These are all flashbacks. He's trying to explain how he got to the audience. The audience, he's explaining to the audience, basically, how he got to where there, whether and that he really is evidently the real Elvis. That's the purpose of that. The main thing about the story is that the people inside the old folks' home are getting attacked by a fucking soul-sucking
mummy,
and JFK happens to be in this same little rinky-dink
in Mud Creek, Texas.
Mud Creek, Texas, old dilapidated house, and he happens to be in there, and it's fucking funny that. They all call him Mr. President and shit, and fucking when you go into his room looks like the presidential office.
Except there's, like, framed pictures of, like, Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby and stuff like that.
He makes Elvis swear to him he had nothing to do with that night in Dallas. It's awesome.
I gotta say, Ossie Davis, this might have been his last movie, because I think he died, like, not too long after this. But he had, like, a very, very long, you know, successful career in acting. And I'm sure he must, like, he's a very serious actor, so it must have been, like, funny to be approached to play a movie like this. But he fucking knocks it out of the park. The fact that he is so straight.
Yeah, through the hall.
And believes it. He doesn't come off like a crazy person. He comes off like he's actually JFK, and he's, you know, he has the gravitas and everything. Yeah. So you don't laugh at him.
No, he's doing a fucking real JFK.
Yeah, and it's excellent. It's excellent. It's just so fucking funny. Like, the lines in this are just so fucking funny. Because, like, so Elvis doesn't really know anybody else.
Elvis calls him Jack.
And
hey, Jack. He goes, hey, Jack. So tell me about Marilyn Monroe. How was she in the sack? That is classified information. She was funny as fuck. Classified information.
Yeah, that's how he says it. Like all this shit, like, because, you know, Elvis is talking to JFK, and he's just like, you know, I don't want to, like, offend you or anything like that. He's like, you know, JFK was a white man.
Yeah.
And then JFK goes, you think I don't know that? They dyed me this color.
Yeah, he goes, the CIA is brilliant. You know, isn't that what he said? The CIA did it. The CIA was hiding him.
Yeah.
And then his family would come to visit him, and he goes, the woman who claims that she's my niece comes to visit me. It's fucking funny.
And he says that he did get shot at in Dallas, but that the CIA put his brain back together and they packed it with sand.
Packed it with bags of sand.
But that his actual brain is, like, connected to a battery at the White House or something like that.
Connected to some kind of broadcasting device that's battery powered. It's back at the White House. He's worried that that battery might die or they might shut that off. So he's slightly remote control or claims to be. He was saying that the CIA had brilliant technology, you know.
And when the mummy first shows up, he at first thinks it's Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, coming to finish him off.
Yeah, he thinks it's Lyndon Johnson.
But like I said, the fact...
We can't spoil all the fucking
the
jokes.
The thing that I love about this movie is that as...
Within the tone of the movie, it's plausible, though.
That's what I mean. Well, they took, like, really the most ridiculous premise you could come up with, like, on Earth... But they made, it's kind of low key. Like, it's not zany. It's not like over the top. It's not, everything is kind of played straight. Like, the humor is very understated, kind of. And it's also, like I said, it's kind of like a touching, deep, like, exploration of aging and, like, friendship and, like, one last stand, like, being a hero, like, saving other people and, like, giving your life meaning and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, I really love that juxtaposition.
Yeah, you see... But the flashbacks will take you to other locations, and the way it's filmed, it's really cool. It kind of reminds me of the Phantasm series.
Yeah, the cinematography is really
nice. Yeah, cinematography is good. And then when they're inside and around the convalescent home, it's got a good tone. It's kind of a crappy convalescent home. And they have to find out where this fucking mummy's coming from. And everything is done... within the scope of what an old man can do. Like, you know, they got Lynn walkers and in fucking wheelchairs trying to fight a damn mummy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to steal the movie's thunder. It's just... And it does make sense within the context of the lore of the movie. I mean, JFK, over the years in this movie, has become an expert on the paranormal and... magic, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, fucking witchcraft.
He's got all kind of books about
shit
it.
Shit like that.
He has to go check out his books.
Yeah, so he can explain most of this because because he's researched it.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Which, like I said, it's like, it's ridiculous, but it's not, you totally buy into it because it's not winking at itself. It's not like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're just taking it completely seriously.
Because Elvis is a paranormal skeptic.
Yeah, he's
I can't understand this. How can a mummy come back to life?
You know, yeah. Just stuff like that.
I don't get it. Why is it here? We're in Texas. You know? What would an Egyptian mummy be doing in Texas?
Yeah,
you
know? But then they do actually find out like how it got there.
Yeah,
but yeah. So and the funny thing too is that, like I said, the premise is ridiculous, but it's also, there's like a lot of, you know, real lowbrow kind of humor. Like I said, you know, the mummy like basically sucks your soul out your asshole.
Yeah.
And you know,
he's got a cancerous dick.
He's got a growth on his dick.
Yeah, like, he talks about it a lot.
And they have to, and he does talk
about it a lot. He worries about it. He doesn't talk about it. He worries. Internal monologue. He's worrying about what's growing on his dick. And he's impotent.
And like, and so like you do get scenes where like the nurse has to come in and like put the corticosteroid like
nurse?
Stuff on. I can't remember what her name is, that nurse, actress, because she's in like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, nurse is kind of like this kind of bombshell kind of black chick. She's probably about 50.
Yeah, probably.
And she's got to go in there and fucking treat his dick and shit. Fucking, it's embarrassing to the king.
Well, yeah, would be.
Yeah, and she's teasing him all the time about it. Fucking fond of it. It's a great movie. It's just,
it is. Yeah. Like I said, it seems like what ended up happening with it, it came out and they really only had, I heard they only had like 32 prints of it.
Yeah.
And so they basically did, like Wikipedia says, they just roadshowed it in that they just took these ones, they just kind of like took them around the country to different theaters to show them. And it ended up getting a really good, really good buzz because it's, you know, it's a cult classic. And I mean, who doesn't love fucking
the writing is
Bruce
great.
Campbell? Who doesn't love fucking the Phantasm movies, Don Coscarelli?
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't love Joe R. Lansdale, who's read him? So it's like, it was really kind of the, you know, the perfect storm. But the fact that it was hard to see it because there were only 32 copies of it. And if you didn't live in a city that they went to show it, then you didn't get to see it till later on. So when it came out on DVD, it already had like this huge built-in audience that wanted to get it because they had been wanting to see it and hearing about it and everything like that. Because like I said, how can you not want to see a movie called Bubba Hotep that's about a fucking... And I love that the mummy is just wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat for no reason. There's no reason.
It's in Texas.
I guess he bought them, like, on those, so he would just...
I think he found them. I think he found them.
He might have found them,
found them because he got lost in Texas. It's kind of explained.
Yeah, but I don't... How long ago? I'm not real clear on how long ago.
It was the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed somewhere. Like it had been a long time. So the mummy's been preying on the old people at this place for a long time.
I guess it was wearing their clothes. But
oh, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it was stealing clothes from the local people.
Yeah, okay, so
they had
Texan
clothes on.
I got it.
And it was just a good movie, man. As good as a Phantasm movie, as good as a Evil Dead movie. I think the tone is closer to a Phantasm movie, of course, same director.
Yeah.
Writing is really good.
It's more a comedy than horror.
Comedy, mystery... comedy, paranormal, mystery, sleuth movie with action, old man action. Yeah,
yeah, we got, and Kemosabe is in there too.
Yeah,
asshole.
Yeah,
asshole.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, Kemosabe went down fighting. Soul intact. Yeah, yeah.
It's just like it's so sweet. Like the friendship between Elvis and JFK, and like them just like solving the mystery and how they're gonna kill this mummy and
it makes sense because you got Elvis, he's basically the star and the narrator of this movie, all right? So of course it's at the end of his life, but it's still Elvis's innate internal instincts to make shit having to do with himself as cool as fucking possible.
Yeah.
So you're in your 80s trying to make what you're doing sound as cool as fucking possible. When not much physically happened. Well, it kind of does.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But like you said, you have
He's got a walker and shit.
Yeah. I mean, in the context of these are two very old men who can barely walk.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to fight a mummy.
And
they're not really entirely sure what they're doing.
They got all kinds of, you know, medicine bags and fucking special fucking talismans and flamethrowers, homemade flamethrower.
Words of power.
Words of power. And stuff that they dreamt up in fucking, or stuff that they read in books. JFK read about it in a book. You just got to see it.
It's a must see.
It's a must see.
It's one of the quintessential like cult movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like I said, the fucking cinematography is beautiful. The score is fantastic. It's exactly
The score is really good.
What like a sun-bleached Texas movie would sound like.
Yeah.
Like it's really good. Also, I have to say,
but the action scenes all have fucking black metal playing. Did you notice
kinda,
that?
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy metal or black metal fucking
play. Yeah, and all the stuff with the scarab beetles and everything like that. It's super funny. And it's like I said, this is early 2000s, 2002, so it's all, as far as I know, it's all practical effects. They don't do any CGI or anything. Yeah, so the bugs are all...
He fights a scarab beetle about the size of a damn apple.
Yeah.
Bigger, actually. Size of a crab, at least.
And the mummy makeup looks really good. Like, Bubba Hotep looks really good.
Yeah, there's like some parts where Bubba Hotep... Bubba Hotep was not his name. That's what Elvis calls him.
That's what Elvis calls him.
Like some kind of Bubba Hotep. But Bubba Hotep looked at him and their minds touched. And
yeah,
he got
like a
visions from Bubba Hotep.
Like what happened to
what
him.
What happened to him.
Like how he died and
stuff.
Yeah,
Elvis
like
has all kinds of spiritual moments and shit in there. Which is great, man. Fucking, like I said, the writing is absolutely brilliant.
I just love this movie. It's one of those movies that it's like, anytime I want to be like, aw. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just watch it. It's just
Elvis talks about Scylla, talks about his daughter, all kinds of shit. Had it been different. You know, he had a lot of regrets.
He's kind of talking about... Like I said, a lot of it is just about aging and, like, what happens when you get old and, you know, everyone in your life is, like, falling away and nobody's going to give a shit about you after you die. And...
Yeah, and these are all famous dudes and nobody comes to see them hardly anymore. They're all kind of forgotten, so they all got to take care of each other.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like, I really, really like the way they kind of played with that theme. And like I said, it's like really sweet and like really heartfelt.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it work. They didn't do it like a jokey, like it's a funny, like a bizarre premise, but they didn't do it like real jokey.
There's also a lot of like spiritual truths, universal truths in it.
Yeah.
And like I said, we said it earlier on in the review. That's actually a deceptively deep movie.
It is. It's kind of sad, but not in a boohoo kind of way, but like in a poignant kind of way.
It has a happy ending, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that.
Well, the circle was complete. Soul intact. Because remember they were talking about reincarnation and afterlife and stuff like that. And that if Bubba Hotep got a hold of you, there wouldn't be any of that.
Yeah.
You would just cease to exist. And he would shit you out in the toilet.
Yeah, you would just go through Bubba Hotep's.
Yeah, it's what they call it, soul residue.
Yeah.
You'd shit out some soul residue.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny.
Like I said, it sounds like, it sounds ridiculous. Like, it almost sounds like a trauma movie, like, when you're talking about it, like, with all the poop and everything. But it's like, it's just not... It's just, that's what I like about it, is this just juxtaposition of, like, the weirdness. Well,
that was how JFK described it.
Yeah.
Like, it would just crap you out like soul residue.
But, like, the fact that Ossie Davis is so fucking good at this, it's like, he's just completely straight-faced, completely, like I said, you just fucking buy it, and it's just so fucking funny.
And Elvis is going, oh my, I don't know, man.
So good, it's so good. It's just like, yeah, so I wanted to say, too, while we were talking about Phantasm, old Reggie Bannister has kind of a cameo in this. Yeah. I think he's, like, the head of the...
He's in charge
of the nursing home, I think. He's only, like, in a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
But it was, like, it's always nice to see him, because we love Reggie, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so... I mean, if you haven't seen Bubba Hotep, and you're...
fucking five thumbs up.
And you're... five thumbs up.
Five thumbs up, yeah.
Thumbs, big toes.
Five thumbs up, yeah. Legendary.
It is, yeah. Like I said, it's not going to be like an over the top. If you're expecting like a crazy over the top kind of movie, it's not really like that.
Movie's got soul.
But yeah, it's just a really weird. It's hard to describe to somebody.
You can vibe with the movie.
Yeah.
You can just go, okay, yeah.
It is. It's like a really cool. I mean, we just kind of like laid down the bed and I was like, ah, it's like, I just love this movie. It's like I said, I love Bruce Campbell and I've read all his books and everything.
It's a very wise and good natured movie.
It is. Yeah, good natured. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. It's just like a really, really sweet movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I really, really like it a lot. Like I said, I used to have it on DVD. Somebody took it. They didn't mean to steal it. They just didn't get it back to me in time. But it's actually, if you want to watch it, it's on Tubi for free right now. The weird thing about it, though, is we were watching it last night. And, you know, Tubi has ads, like, every now and then, like commercials. And it went to an ad, like, the second the movie ended. And then it didn't show any credits.
No.
Like, it just went to the next movie, which was Saturday the 14th. Which I haven't seen in a million fucking years. I need to watch that shit again
at some point.
Yeah, it was like a slasher parody, I guess. It came out in early 80s, I don't remember. I saw it a bunch of times on cable. But yeah, so I don't remember, because I think what they did was that they made, like, at the end of the credits, if I remember correctly, they had like a joke, like they were jokingly saying they were going to make a sequel that was called like something like, what the fuck was it called? Bubba Nosferatu?
Yeah.
Like the She Vampires or something like that. And it wasn't, they weren't really going to make it. It was just like a joke. But then the movie did so well, like on, you know, as a cult classic, that they started talking about maybe we should make a sequel or a prequel or something like that. What they ended up doing, they did actually work on it for a while in 2008, 2009. But then I think it went into development hell. And then I think what ended up happening was that Joe R. Lansdale actually wrote a graphic novel that is like a 5-volume one that's like a prequel. You know, but they want to like expand it, like have Elvis like fight aliens with Colonel Parker and all this other kind of stuff.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, but they, I don't know if that's, I don't think that happens in the one they have, but that was like another idea that they were floating, that they were doing, you know, a prequel to like.
It's funny, Elvis in this movie says he should have fired Colonel Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have.
Well, yeah.
He should have, yeah.
But yeah, so definitely go to Tubi and check this out. It's like just a really... I just love this movie so much. It just, like, warms the cockles of my heart every time I watch it. And I've seen it, like, a million times. But, definitely, definitely recommended. On Tubi, go check it out. Do it. And we'll see you later.